The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Greetings, people of the internet. My name is Big Mo, and it is my honor to welcome you to the hardest hitting, full of ranting, most entertaining show in the world. This is the Dave Van Auken Show!
What's up, guys? We are back! The Dave Van Auken Show presented by Fight Bananas Podcast 167. Guys, January 17th, it's a Tuesday. It is a Tuesday, and it's we are back from a crazy announcement weekend from the UFC, guys. Francis is gone. John Jones is back. Leon Edwards versus Usman. The trilogy's on. Absolutely bananas. And a great UFC Vegas 67 with Strickland winning the main event. And we are here. We are on the road to UFC 283. Glover Teixeira, Jamal Hill will fight for the vacant UFC light heavyweight championship. So a lot to get into, guys. This will be a little prelogue. Really cool. A first time ever guest, the anchor of this podcast. We go for 35 incredible minutes. WWE wrestler. He's back in TNA. He loves combat sports. His love for judo. His daughter. So much to get into, guys. Anthony Carella, a.k.a. you guys probably know him as Santino Marella, joins the podcast here in around 5 minutes. So really pumped. It's an unbelievable conversation. We go for 35 minutes. But before Santino comes on, guys, I'm going to drop right now. John Jones is back. Francis Ngannou, is it greener? Is it always greener on the other side? I don't think so. So my Francis take, my John Jones take, and then we get into Santino Marella. There we go, guys. Make sure you go to the sponsor, the MMA Shark. Go to the MMAshark.com. Put in that promo code 23BANANAS. 23 bananas. That's at the MMAshark.com. He's the world's greatest MMA handicapper. If you were just with him his last weekend, he swept the main card. Five fights on the main card for UFC Vegas 67. He won all five fights. I cashed literally seven tickets. I didn't know. Not going to lie. He had his biggest underdog on the card. Didn't work out. He's always been up truth to us. But I got seven cash tickets. I won around, I think, five units. So, hey, I'm happy. We're going to keep rolling. All right, guys. Santino Marella is the anchor. John Jones take. Francis Ngannou take. Episode 167. Let's go! What's up, guys? Dave Van Auken. We're back. Big week here. UFC 283 this week. But let's talk about probably one of the biggest news over the weekend dropped. It's the news we've been waiting for a long, long time. I think ESPN MMA put up that graphic. It's been over like 1,100 days, guys. John Jones is back. And he's just not back. I don't even think it could even be bigger. I know maybe him versus Francis, that was something that we all wanted to see would be humongous. But it's almost, in a weird way, it's bigger because Francis is stripped, no longer in the UFC. He's fighting Ciryl Gane, who... Ciryl Gane out of all this is just one of the most underrated fighters in all the sport. If you look at him and his record and what he's done in the heavyweight division, his only loss is to Francis Ngannou in a ultra close fight, in a five-round ultra close fight. So this is a great fight. These are the two best heavyweights in the world. We got great challengers on the way up. We got Curtis Blaydes and Sergey Pavlovich on the way up, and I love that because that really gives John Jones a year and a half, a huge roadway to see what's next. But let's just talk about it, guys. John Jones is back. One of the great fighters in the history of the sport. Like I said over and over again, don't love a lot of the stuff outside of the octagon and some of the stuff he has done. But inside that octagon, when the door closes, he's the greatest mixed martial artist I've ever seen. We're doing a lot of Mount Rushmores here lately under the Fight Bananas banners. And for me, disagree or agree. He's on the Mount Rushmore. He is the greatest mixed martial artist we have seen. It's been a couple years since his return, and he's come back as a heavyweight. This is just humongous. This is so good in so many different levels. If John Jones reclaims or captures the heavyweight championship and defends it once or twice or whatever happens in the next year, year and a half, it says Stipe wants to fight him in July. If John Jones goes on a heavyweight run, it's unquestionably, guys, like Khabib Nurmagomedov is great, and Anderson the Spider Silva is great, and GSP, all these great, Demetrius Johnson, nothing but love. But if John Jones, like, dominates two different weight classes, two of the different, and I can argue this is a great time for UFC heavyweights. That's just three names, Curtis Blaydes, Pavlovich, and Stipe. If he defeats Ciryl Gane, those are four tremendous heavyweights. Who knows what happens in the future with Francis, but I think it's nothing but great news. John Jones is back in the UFC. March 4th, I believe, Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. It's great for the brand. It's great for John. I think it's great for Gane as well. I think it's great for MMA. It's great for UFC. It's great for everyone aboard. We're so excited to hear a fight, Benaz. John Jones is back. We can't wait. Drop off early predictions. We're not going to early predict anything here from me. We got so much. Guys, we have UFC 283 this weekend. We had UFC 284 like in 3 or 4 weeks. It's going to be an absolute bananas. First quarter of the 30th year of the UFC. Cannot wait. But guys, he's back. The greatest mixed martial artist to me, I've ever seen. John Jones is officially back. The thing I want to talk about. So we talked about John Jones being back and fighting Ciryl Gane. But one thing I haven't talked about yet here on Fight Bananas is about Francis Ngannou. Like, that was kind of the big elephant over this last 6 months with John Jones. And this is the biggest fight they can make. He's one of the best. Francis Ngannou is in the argument of one of the best heavyweights of all time, UFC, MMA, period. That's in my two cents. And let me throw this out there before I kind of get into what I want to get into. If Francis and Jones fought, I have Francis winning that fight. I just think Francis is too powerful, too athletic, too big, too damn strong. Jones has never felt that, and especially in his first fight back in 1,200 days, and the first fight as a heavyweight. I had Francis defeating Jones, and Francis Jones won. And we'll see what happens. But what I want to get to is, growing up, right, as a parent, a grandparent, a loved one always told you this. They would talk to you about if it's your job or you had multiple different offers or a relationship with a significant other or even a friend. And this was always passed down to me, was always told to me. And it's just stuck with me, right? It's just one of those old cliches that the grass is always not greener on the other side. The grass is not greener always on the other side. And what I'm getting at with this is I know Francis was talking about getting a ton of money in another organization. It looks like it could be PFL. It looks like he could have that mega fight with Tyson Fury. But what's next? Like, what comes after that? Like, if he has a one-off with Tyson Fury and gets the bag, right? He's in that spot. He's in that presented in that luxury spot against Tyson Fury. Why? Because he was the UFC heavyweight champion. He was the baddest man on the planet. The UFC has put him on posters. The UFC put him in main events. The UFC granted him opportunities that he did deserve, but granted him opportunities. They even put him on ice when he was so damn good. They're like, dude, he has to get the title shot next. The heavyweight division is so damn tough. They didn't make him go through a gauntlet. They didn't make him go have another test. As soon as he beat Rozenstruik 2.5 years ago, they're like, you're the champ, Francis. We're going to put you on ice. I think the UFC has taken care of Francis Ngannou, has made Francis Ngannou into the star that he is today. So if this is kind of, say, the worst case scenario for Francis Ngannou, if he stayed, just say if they offered him $5 million a fight, $3 million with some points on the side, $6, $7 million a fight, worst case scenario, he loses to Jones on the comeback. They would probably, I would assume, do a rematch, the baddest rematch in the planet, right? The rematch, Jones versus Francis 2. Just say he loses that. Then he gets a really tough fight against a number one contender like a Sergey or even a rematch against Gane, something like that in there. He loses that. Then the fourth fight, the UFC knows they have a lot of money, Francis Ngannou. They would probably want to take care of him. They would give him somewhere in between, what, 5 and 10? They wouldn't give him Aspinall. They wouldn't give him Blaydes. He went through that gauntlet. That's right. Like, the worst case scenario, Francis Ngannou had at least 3 or 4 mega huge fights that can do the Stipe trilogy whenever they want. They can just dip that into any main event, any pay-per-view on this planet. We're buying it. Francis Ngannou, to me, has turned down the limelight of his career, the pinnacle of his career. Yeah, that Gone fight was great, but he was hurt. Weird, murky fifth round, a lot of grappling. To me, Francis Ngannou is trying to get a greener grass, and I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't know. He might get the bag once, and he might be dominant in the PFL in 2023, right? He might have once, but what's next after that? To me, the future was in the UFC. To me, the next moves, I hear this all the time. Hey, guys, play chess, not checkers. I think, to me, this was a checker move by Francis Ngannou. This was a one-year deal. Like, he wanted to make the bag once. But what's next? Will the UFC take him back? Will we see Francis Jones in 2025? Who knows? But let me just say this. The grass is always not greener on the other side. Hey, I wish Francis the best. John Jones got on UFC 285. Cannot wait. All right, talk to you guys. What's up, guys? We are back. The Dave Van Auken Show. I'm Dave Van Auken, and I'm pumped today. Never talked to him. We reached out through socials. We got him on. Anthony Santina Carella. How you doing, my man?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Yeah, I guess,
man,
I got
so
a lot of names.
It's so great to have you on. So much I want to get into with it. We are an MMA podcast, Fight Finesse. We cover mixed martial arts. We head to a lot of the events. But before I reached out to you, and I really did want to jump into a lot of your history in combat sports and just a lot of the news in MMA, you kind of broke the news. You went very viral this weekend. Had no idea you were going to do this before talking. Saturday night, you're back. TNA, DOA, all that. How did that come to be, and how happy are you to be back in the professional wrestling scene?
Yeah, so in 2013, I opened Battle Arts Academy, and, I had my neck surgery in 2014, right. So I was kind of trying to rehab for a couple of years. And then in 2016, I realized I wasn't going to be able to get back in the ring, you know, and perform at a level I want to. So, we left the company, and I really just focused on battle arts. And that was it. You know, I have 2 small children, 1 and 4. So I really wasn't looking to get on the road again. Scott D'Amore is a friend of mine. And, you know, we chatted about possibilities a few times, and everything seemed to line up, you know. And all of a sudden, I was looking for 2023, not this early, but to kind of get back out there and do something. So Scott, as a habit, when he gets former WWE guys, he goes and checks the trademarks, just as a habit. And he found that in 2021, WWE did not renew the Santino Marella trademark. Wow. So Scott jumped on it. So Impact Wrestling now owns the Santino Marella trademark. So that's why a lot of people, when I came out and said I'm Santino Marella, they're like, whoa, how is he able to use that? So that was almost bigger news than me coming back, was the fact that I was able to use the name. So it was fun, man. You know, just not having to modify the character and just being Santino, something that I'm good at, I'm comfortable with, and I can flick a switch and be Santino on the, you know, sure, the drop of a dime. So it was enough. I wasn't gone long enough where nobody knows, but I'm gone long enough that it means something. So it was a really good balance. Yeah. Timing is everything, and it's the right time. So it's fun. Thank you.
Very cool. With that being said, seconds away, moments away, you walk through that black curtain of, you know, hundreds of thousands of times. How did it feel? How did it feel to kind of walk back, get that live mic back on, the red light is on? I would assume there's no feeling like it on earth.
Yeah, you know, I get this thing when I'm in, just before the curtain, I have to pee a little bit, right? and that's always a good sign. So when I felt that, I go, God, I haven't felt that in like 6 years. So it was good, and the cadence and the interaction with the crowd, and man, the people look genuinely happy, which really, because when you're gone for 6 years, you're like, are they going to care? And these things go through your mind, right? Like, you know, but the reactions were such that it instantly made me just feel relaxed and comfortable, and I was able to focus on what I had to say, and Man, it was awesome. Then the congratulations backstage, and I have a lot of friends in the locker room. Like, the locker room is super comfortable. It's a great organization. They're really known as the best, you know, wrestling company when it comes to in-ring wrestling. They don't have the production or the viewers, of course, WWE and AEW, but the work rate is something the locker room takes great pride in.
Sure.
And man, if I can put any additional eyes on the product, then that's what I'm here to do. Obviously, I'm going to be an authority figure, but with comedy. And let's go, man. I'm ready. I leave again. And what day is today? Tuesday. I leave again on Thursday. We're going to Orlando. So back on the road. It's a lighter schedule because with my small kids, I want to take them, especially my son's in junior kindergarten, right? So weekends are kind of – I mean, I have evenings, but weekends are our time. So I don't want to give away all my weekends.
Right.
So this schedule is great. It's a bit lighter.
And you mentioned Orlando. I would assume they're taping in Universal Studios in that area?
Actually, I usually don't know until the day before. Okay. I don't check. I can only remember so much. But it's cool. But my daughter is in NXT.
Right.
In Orlando. So I get to see her again. You know, I saw her at Christmas. But anytime I get to see my daughter, it's I'll take advantage of it.
Very cool. And like I said, we threw out something on socials. We have a lot of really great fan questions.
Actually, all right on.
Our Fight Finesse community really jumps in hard. But for you, to be honest, you had double, triple the questions that we usually have. So we love that one. And I don't want to step on one of the questions, but you kind of did mention your daughter. So I did want to kind of take it there for a second. You mentioned how WWE didn't renew the name Santino Marella. Of course, AEW is popular. And then with Triple H kind of taking over before the last week or so, it's wild. The last week in MMA and professional wrestling has been bananas.
Yeah.
But Triple H was bringing a lot of people back. Did you think, or did you want, or would you have taken the call, or have you talking to the crew from WWE or NXT or AEW? Has any of those talks happened over the last months, years?
No, I mean, I have a very good relationship with WWE, and we chat sometimes. And the thing is, I'm Canadian. So to bring me in for a one-off, they have to get a work visa. So it's like, man, we're going to spend 5 G's to bring him in for one day. So it really didn't make it worth it because I had a green card. I've since relinquished my green card. I live in Canada. And but now with Impact, I have a U.S. work visa again. And I did talk to Scott in the beginning and said, one of the only things I ask is that when my daughter is able to be called up, I'd like to do something in the ring with her, you know?
Okay.
And he's cool with that. And AEW, I've been to a couple shows backstage. Again, a lot of friends. Like, for me, I'm a kid in a candy store and I'm backstage, and there's just so many guys that I admire or I worked with. And WWE, my life is so perfectly balanced right now. I can't gamble that, man.
Yeah.
I just can't gamble it, you know? So to go on the road 50 weeks a year, even if it's for one day, like if I have the book, I call it the Booker T schedule, you know, where you fly in, do commentary, fly home. Yeah. That's still every week. And you're still flying out every Sunday, work every Monday and fly home every Tuesday. So I really like the schedule that I have now.
No. Unbelievable. Yeah, family first. Absolutely. A lot being said there. And okay, so like I said, let's bring it back a little bit to MMA. We're just huge in the industry. And it's kind of funny too, because I'm a professional wrestling guy, watched it my whole life as a kid. I have kids now that we watch it, and all of that being said. But when was your time? I do even remember it to this day. And that was even before the UFC was one of the biggest things on this planet, 15 years ago. They were around, but wasn't mainstream. They weren't on ESPN like they are now. But I did remember you as a combat sports, as a background of Sambo or Judo, all of that. So take me to that stride. Were you always into combat sports? Did you always love MMA? Have you been a UFC fan before it was cool to be a UFC fan? Tell me about your love and kind of your way through combat sports.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, it's Kung Fu, right? Bruce Lee.
Right.
And while everyone was playing, cops and robbers, I had a ski mask on, tiptoeing on the fence with my homemade nunchucks. So I've always been a huge martial arts fan. In fact, so I begged my mom to put me in. I said, I feel a calling. I need to be in martial arts. And my mom checked the schedule, and the one that fit her thing was judo.
Okay.
So I started judo at 9 years old, and I did it right through university. I was on the national team. I won a junior nationals. I competed in the international high school championships, a junior world championships, the U.S. Open. And so judo was my life. Judo was my identity. Judo was why I moved to Montreal. I went to university in Montreal, but that was just because there happened to be a university in the town where the national team trained, and that was really it. So I wrestled in high school, and I basically adapted my judo for wrestling, and I won whatever every level I competed in. And then when I went to scope out the National Training Center when I was in my last year of high school, we went for March break, and I met Andy Bordeau. And Andy Bordeau was an Olympic wrestler for Canada, and also on the national judo team. The guy was like, you know, heavyweight. Wow. So he said, are you going to wrestle for Concordia University? And I was like, man, you know, I never thought about it. And like, but I'm going to go to that school. So I ended up wrestling for Concordia. And that's where I met a guy on my wrestling team, one of my best friends to this day. His dad was in the WWF. He was in Calgary Stampede. His name was Don Koloff. He was a, you know, I don't want to say job guy, but he was a super, I mean, he was a Bulgarian national champion in freestyle wrestling, like the crowbar of the locker room. Didn't have the sense of humor and the showmanship, but well-respected in the ring. And I met him, and I'm like, of course, everyone, I dreamed about pro wrestling. I play in the basement and have epic hour-long matches with a pillow and all that kind of stuff. Sure. But it seemed it's unattainable. Like, where are you going to, how are you going to get in? Like, you know, I didn't know there was a school. And all of a sudden, I found that this guy on my university wrestling team had a school. So, you know, I knew that I had been placed. I found my destiny, and I knew that I was heading in that direction. So we finished up school, worked in the corporate world a little bit, a couple of years just to kind of clean up. I was, I got married and divorced all in university. So I was kind of, you know, I had a party phase, and I had to clean up my act a little bit. So when I cleaned up my act, then I applied myself, and the same skill set that makes you a champion in anything, I applied to pro wrestling, and I really felt that I was like born for this. You know, it was really good. So I had to go on the road. I packed up, I moved to Japan. I had to sit my daughter down and explain the situation, and it was super hard. I usually cry when I talk about it, but then I had to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and learn. So I started late, all this university, teacher's college, working a little bit. I started training at 28,
right?
My first match at 29, all of 30, I'm in Japan. And this is where a huge overlap. So in Japan, and this is 2004. So Pride is like, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
And the Japanese dojo, the original battle arts, the MMA guys and the pro wrestlers, they train all together. And the MMA guys go do pro wrestling, and the pro wrestlers fight in MMA. Yeah. So I'm like, this is right up my alley. And took a while. You know, my grappling was super sharp in 04. I'd grapple anybody in the world back in 04. I mean, since then, BJJ has blown up, right? And
Gordon Ryan doing their thing. Yeah.
Gordon, yeah. And some of these, like, you know, so in judo, I still grapple, right? And it's the leg lock game is tricky for me, man. We don't have leg locks in judo. But, you know, I wrestled, I did catch wrestling, I did judo. I understand the basics of leg locks, but, you know, I'm actually going to compete. So I'm turning 49 a couple of months, and next year I'm 50, and I want to go do a Worlds. I'm a blue belt in BJJ because that's what you get when you're a black belt in judo on day one.
So
I'm going to try and compete if my body, you know, I got a lot of injuries and my old injuries that are kind of – every time I get some momentum going and I feel like I'm in good shape, something happens. So my workouts these days are like more like rehab workouts where I'm trying to strengthen, you know, hip flexors and glutes and your lower core and all this stuff. And if I can get a good string of training together, I'm going to compete in the Worlds for my age group and my weight. And I think having that date is something to train for will bring out the best, you know?
Yeah. I bring it up. I usually talk when I do my pod. I always do it with a permanent black marker, and I've probably done over 500 podcasts, talk to fighters daily. And the thing they tell me the most, the thing that they love the most, is having that date, a permanent black marker on a calendar, something to be like, all right, we're 8 weeks off, we're 7 weeks off, 6 weeks off, whatever it is. They love that, permanent black marker. Two things you said there, I would love to ask, kind of take it with, you mentioned judo a lot. Did that, are you just fond of Kayla Harrison? Is probably the most famous MMA.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. I met her once in Tampa. I knew who she was before, obviously. So before COVID, I was doing some commentary for the World Judo Tour. I have a friend in the IJF. And he brought me as a guest because he's, you know, I have a million Twitter followers, and I was posting about judo because I was coaching judo right up until COVID as well. So they brought me as a couple guests, and then I had been doing some wrestling commentary. So when they put me on the mic as a special guest at the World Judo Tour, they're like, "This guy's a natural commentator," and I'm like, you know, little do they know I do some wrestling commentary. So they said, you know, I did a few events. I did the Junior Worlds, and I did the tournament in Budapest and Dusseldorf and in Montreal. And I went to the Worlds actually in 2019. So they were already booked, like the commentary staff. And I asked if I can go, and they're like, "Oh, the team's kind of booked." Like, "How about if I get to Japan myself? You know, if they go, hey, if you get there, we'll put you on the mic." So I took a booking for DDT, and then I'm in Japan, you know? Yeah. So I did commentary at the Worlds the year before the Olympics in the Budokan arena, which was like, so I would pay for these trips. I would pay for a judo to go watch a Grand Slam, a Grand Prix, watch the best in the world. And the fact that I'm getting flown out there to do commentary and having an incredible seat calling the action, that was amazing, man. And then in 2020, I sold part of the gym, and I had to take out judo because I moved up north. So we were sharing mat space with BJJ wrestling and judo, and now it's just BJJ and wrestling. And the programs have since, you know, exploded because they're legitimate 5 days a week programs now. So yeah, I'm not coaching right now, but I am the ambassador to Judo Canada. So I try and promote the sport. Actually, I was in the locker room this weekend, and I'm realizing it's been like a movie about every martial arts, right? Even, you know, Ong Bak, Kung Fu, Karate, Taekwondo, Vision Quest.
Right.
Where's the judo movie, man? We need a judo movie. So.
The Kayla Harrison story. I think that's the movie. That's the one that's going to get the cake. Because her past and, you know, so much trials and tribulations, and then to win, you know, goal, and just her story, to me, is unbelievable.
Oh, I have she's a been on the pod.
She's a friend of Fight Bananas. We're huge Kayla Harrison people. You mentioned commentary, too, and it's funny you say that. I try to tell people about it all the time. I also do some commentary for some MMA organizations. There ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like commentary on a live mic, on a red hot mic, and especially in MMA or even judo, because you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know when it's going to stop. You know, professional wrestling, you see the build up, and they're going. You can kind of, you know, in every kind of main event match, you know, it's in that 16 to 22 minute sweet spot. And in an MMA fight, it might be, you know, with Masvidal and Askren, it's 5 seconds. You just never know when that end is going to be. So on a hot commentary mic, there ain't nothing like it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you're new at it, you have to be careful to not catch yourself just watching.
Yeah,
and you're right. But you have to remember to call the action and give some insight. And early, so like the judo guys, before BJJ blew up, we were the only guys that had ground, really. You know, in fact, BJJ was invented by a judo guy that moved to Brazil and taught Newaza. So, you know, I'm teaching triangle chokes in 1995 at a seminar in an MMA gym in Mississauga.
That's so cool.
And now these guys, their knowledge of, like, it's incredible. And now they're teaching it back to me with extra detail and how to get into it and stuff. But judo and BJJ are like first cousins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So back in the day when Royce Gracie won, it was like a victory for judo as well, to be honest, right?
Sure.
Same gi, you know, trying Sankaku's judo techniques, and he's doing takedowns. I mean, it's really just the rules of competition, actually, that are quite different.
Right.
Same techniques, same with sambo and even some wrestling. It's all the same stuff.
And I know you just said it to a couple minutes, and I watched some podcasts with you recently. The one with Raquel was awesome. And it really does feel and look from afar that you're in a great place mentally, hopefully physically and all that. And I know you have no regrets and never want to go back, and life is what life is. But if we had a little pixie dust, a little, you know, we can change back history. Would you rather stay in the WWE, do that 10, 15 year run, be a professional wrestler, or someone said, hey, you can be a MMA superstar, right? You can be one of the greatest featherweight fighters of all time, have a run. Did you miss maybe not going for that, you know, MMA crossover it is now, being on ESPN and being a pay-per-view superstar?
Yeah, I often say that I'm glad it didn't blow up till I was older.
If
I was 17,
yeah,
and I was like, you know, at the national level in judo, I'm taking fights for sure.
What weight class would you be as a UFC fighter back then, in your prime?
Yeah, I fought 78 kilos, which is 172, so I was a welterweight.
Okay.
Right now, I'm like, you know, my whole wrestling career, I was like 100 kilos, so 220. Okay. 227. I got, you know, I'm trying to bulk up to those big guys, but I'm only I'm only 5'10". I'm trying to diet down a little bit now to get below 200 pounds. It's not easy. But if I do compete in the jiu-jitsu, I think the category is 195.
Okay. So you would have been a welterweight. You would have been you know, George St. Pierre, you and GSP, you know,
maybe middleweight.
Oh, okay. Maybe middleweight. Okay.
It's getting harder and harder to make weight throughout my life. I was I guess I'll say welterweight. I was a welterweight at like 15, right till 23. Yeah. And every year as you mature and get more muscle, it's getting harder and harder to make weight. So maybe as I was older, probably welterweight. Middleweight. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Like I said, we got some fan stuff. We do a Going Bananas thing. But I do want to say, so do you stick with MMA news all the time? You're kind of up to it?
Well, I follow Fight Bananas, right? So
hey, I go to bed early. How crazy John Jones is back. Like, that was just a humongous thing over the weekend. He was one of the biggest names in the industry. He was gone for 3 years, moving up to heavyweight, fighting for the championship on March 4th. As a fan of MMA, where are you on the whole John Jones scenario?
I love John Jones, as a fighter, as an athlete. And it's funny because he was fighting 205, right? And I'm looking and I'm like, he is humongous. Right. I'm walking around at let's say 225. And I'm like, so I'm heavier, I'm bigger, but he is so much bigger. I'm like, he would be a nightmare with that reach and his technique and his great wrestling. Can he stay away from the partying, right? That's it. That's the only question. That's the only question. Can he string enough days in a row with no drinking and partying that he's going to be a really good presentation of himself? And you know, he was also young and he made a lot of money and shit happens, right? I'm hoping he stays away for stay home, smoke some weed, man. Don't go out, you know, just stay home and put the bottle down. But he's the greatest, man. He's the greatest. Yeah. It's just a matter of his only competition is himself and his demons. That's it. If he's the best version of John Jones, nobody's going to touch him. He's going to play with Cyril, take him down at will and destroy him on the ground. It probably, if he's in good shape and takes him down, it won't get out of the first round. He'll smash his head in the first round, ground and pound.
I agree. I love your take on that. That really, like I said, I know how much you do pay attention and how much you know. I agree immensely on it. There's a ton of great, all-time great MMA fighters, and I've watched it since UFC 1 to what it is today. But inside that octagon, he's done a lot of shit outside the octagon that I personally don't like. There's some, you know, stuff. And when you're in the industry, sometimes you hear things and it is what it is, right? But inside that octagon, when that door cages, he is the greatest mixed martial artist I've ever seen. He had no holes. Some of the greatest fighters were really dominant at one, but a little weak on this and this. John had no holes. He still has no holes. And I kind of think, I'm with you. I think the years apart, and I think he knows this is his last run, if that makes sense. It's kind of a comeback kind of a thing. I think he's going to be pretty dominant. I think he's going to win a couple heavyweights in a row. I think he's smart enough to stay away from the one big punch from a heavyweight, but he's so much more technical and smooth, and I think he's going to be quicker than all these heavyweights. I think the next 18 months should be very interesting for John. Really interesting.
His fight IQ is obviously off the charts. Oh, geez, my son just scared the hell out of me. Marco, I'm on. Just give me a second, okay, buddy. But the only thing with someone who's that good, the ego comes into play, and he might say, "I'm not going to back away from his striking. I'm going to show him that I can outstrike him." Right. And you know, I think he's smart enough to try not to do that. Did he leave? Oh, sorry. My son just scared the hell out of me. My son, like I joke around, he's the ultimate combat sports athlete in the making here. Yeah. I make him do pull downs on the gi with there a gi. He's lifting up medicine balls to practice double legs.
You got to pay attention to your boy. You know, he's next.
Yeah, we have a nice facility here at the house. And so my wife is a fitness fanatic as well. So anyway, he always wants to come in the gym, but you know, we say, oh, you can't come in, we're training. So we make sure to give him his training time because now he wants to go even more. And everything, I always do neck exercises, grip exercises. Like I try and keep it fun, but he doesn't know, he's already training.
right. Beautiful. Okay, like I said, we're super into Mount Rushmore's. Maybe John Jones is a part of it. Who is your all-time? Who is your MMA Mount Rushmore? Who are the four guys or girls that, at the end of the day, if you had to put names, put heads on Mount Rushmore, who is your all-time MMA Mount Rushmore?
GSP is there. Okay. Anderson Silva, Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
And John Jones. That's four, right?
That's a good one.
Ronda, what she did was amazing. And again, judo, right? I'm a huge fan of hers as well. Just the way it ended with, okay, the Holly Holm fight was a tactical mistake. And then she got caught, right? Against the lioness, right?
Amanda Nunes.
There was that one shot on the chin and then everything went out the window and you can hear her corner yelling. It was tough to watch because I know she didn't train to do that. She trained to move and move and move. And the whole notion of lunging in and getting caught on the way in. I mean, it happened to Jose Aldo with Conor McGregor.
He moved
in and got caught with that left. And man, it's but Ronda, for the things she did during that time was incredible.
She broke through. She's one of those females that broke through that glass ceiling, especially in MMA. I would assume you probably do maybe watch her a little bit more in what she's doing in WWE. She's been, you know, literally a diamond for them over the last 2-3 years. Heel or a face, it doesn't matter. Rivalry, you know, that she should. And inside that ring, she's pretty damn good. She knows what she's doing. It's been a fun ride, I think, for her.
Yeah, there's a few. Like, I always want to, you know, Shelton Benjamin, WWE?
Yeah.
Like, Minnesota. Imagine that guy, if that guy got into MMA.
Yeah.
Like, what an animal, man. Kurt Angle.
Imagine Kurt in 1998, 2000, and going into MMA.
Incredible, man.
Yeah, he would just...
And Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar.
He would just wrestle them to death.
Yeah, he's relentless, unstoppable, never get tired. Like, it's a level of fury.
Yeah.
And that people, they can't even imagine until they're just like, what happened, right? But Brock Lesnar with the diverticulitis, and we should have had more Brock Lesnar, you know. He's so strong and so explosive. And imagine he had a rock solid camp from a bit of a younger age. I think it would have been the era of Brock Lesnar, you know.
Yeah. Very good point. All right. Let's do some of these fan questions. Like I said, they came in heavy. We really appreciate them. Okay, this is from Jamie_KU_son. Probably one you get a lot, I would assume. What is your all-time favorite wrestling moment?
Of me or just in general?
Yeah, of you.
You know what? Actually, it's when I won my first title ever. It was at OVW, and I won the television championship. And I think I wasn't signed yet. And I was one of the only unsigned guys on the program.
Wow.
But it was OVW was a developmental territory. So the office was watching. And, you know, I had a different character. I was Boris Alexiev. If you ever want to go on YouTube and punch in Boris Alexiev, you'll it was very MMA oriented. I came out like an MMA fighter. I just smashed people, judo throws, ground and pound, submissions. I wasn't very pro wrestling at all, actually. And we conditioned the audience to believe that this was like a segment of the show that was not pro wrestling. This was a fight.
Right.
And the audience would be like, they would go in this frenzy and they'd be like, fight, fight, fight. And they thought like they're circling around after school and some two guys are going to fight. You know? I'd say that was my favorite moment.
Okay. Very cool. Alexias 8407 says, when are you coming to Germany?
Oh, the Germany. Well, now that I'm with, someone has to call me and book me, I'll come to Germany.
Okay.
I've always had great experiences with WWE in Germany. I'm scheduled to go to Europe this year, mostly the UK, though, and Poland. But, I'm down. I love Germany.
Yep. Brody underscore Decora says, is Santino a good son of a gun?
Yeah, so son of a gun, my best friend growing up is my next door neighbor, and his dad is son of a gun, Ivan. So, and so, you know, my whole generation is all first generation Canadians. All our parents are from Europe, Croatia, Greece, Portugal, Malta, Poland, Italy. So I just take little tidbits from all our parents.
Right.
And implement it into the character. So son of my gun is from my neighbor Ivan. And it's funny. He's like a Croatian immigrant. And I told him that I say son of my gun on TV. And he's like, you have to give me money. So he knew all about royalties and trademarks and everything.
I love it. Kevin Ride says, when are you going to come roll with the boys at Driven?
Oh, yeah. In Midland, I'm actually going back. So I was taking my son. There's a jiu-jitsu club here. I went. And then I was taking my son, but there's like his class, and there's an hour space, and then my class, and it's like a half-hour drive. So it wasn't working out. So I just took my son out of it because he's four, and he's really skinny, and I want it to be a good experience for him. So anyway, I'm coming back. As soon as I got a little bicep issue that just needs to get a little better. I don't need it to be perfect, so I can wear a sleeve, but if I go now, I'm going to mess it up. So I'm just going to wait a few weeks and I'm there.
Very cool. Two more for you, then we'll let you run. Are you happy to be back in the world of wrestle and entertainment? And also greetings from Italy. That's from Mero underscore Migletta.
Oh yeah. It's great to be back. You know, you live in airports and you live in hotels and rental cars. And it's funny, when I show up to the airport, I feel like it's like my office. That's where I work. You know, I go to the airports. So it was nice. It's actually nice to go to the airport again and establish the routine. It's funny. You become a professional living out of a suitcase. So this time though, I had to think about everything and how many days and how many socks and workout clothes and go to the building clothes. And, so I have to sharpen up my packing skills again.
Very cool. Very cool. Last question from the fans. This is from Coach underscore Van Auken. Kind of the same area of question. Why return to wrestling now in 2023? And with that being said, did you have any other interest from any other wrestling company?
I was talking to WWE about doing something with my daughter, but that's it. You know, it's still on the table, but I call it the Chris Jericho plan. You know, I want to be able to call my shots and do what I want to do.
Yep.
I'm a business owner, right? We have a couple locations of a gym, and I like to go and make an appearance once a month. So and I don't want to be away. So this literally was the only thing I really wanted to do.
Beautiful. And you mentioned your daughter, and we mentioned NXT. I know, I believe, wasn't it 6-8 months ago, she tore her ACL, right? Is that what happened with
the injury? She's 12 weeks out. And she's
12 weeks out. Wow.
Of a surgery, and she's progressing really well. She's running and, high knees and some plyometrics. So she'll be back. So she's a megastar, like, in the making. She was identified from a young child. And that's really actually one of the main reasons I became a professional wrestler. Was because the professional wrestling and movies kind of seemed to be connected at the time with WWE films. And she's like a movie star. Like, my daughter's like a future A-list megastar. And I know it sounds weird, I'm her dad, but
no, like I get it.
She's everyone in NXT absolutely loves her. She's a blue chip stock. You know, when it comes to their mic skills, she's probably the best, maybe in WWE right now. Like, she's
wow.
She won school speeches and she debates and, you know, student of excellence and acting and she did hosting of TV shows and all that stuff. So she's perfect there. She's big. She's like 5'8", strong. And she gets wrestling. She understands psychology and she's right. Very pretty. She was a model and Miss Teen Ontario. So you boil it all down and she took judo and stuff, right? She is the consummate superstar. You know, when they tell you what they're looking for,
yep.
We want this, we want, she speaks, fluent French, she speaks English. She's a superstar. you know, I raised her as a superstar. And one of the reasons I, because, you know, I just finished university. I'm trying to start my life. And when you're given a child that is identified as, and people come up to me like, your daughter's like going to be something amazing, right? And now there's a lot of pressure on you. If she doesn't, it's because you didn't give her the environment to flourish.
Right.
So I'm like, how am I going to get this girl somewhere where she can be all she can be? Well, I'm pretty sure I can become a wrestler because I'm really good at it. And then when I'm there, I can reach back and pull her up to a platform where she can then excel. And right. She is. When I walked in the PC, people come up to me and they're like, we love her. Thank you. We love her. She's doing great. So, you know, like 2-3 years from now, she's going to be the top dog in the women's division. I'm like, Raw.
We're going to record this right now. We'll chop it up. I'm calling it right now. WrestleMania 42. So we're around 3 years away. We'll have Charlotte Flair versus your daughter in one of the night one of the main events. It's the passing of the torch. Charlotte will pass the torch to your daughter.
It's funny because I went to Ric Flair's thing in Nashville, you know, the last match. And I was hanging out with Charlotte. Man. I love Charlotte, man. And Andrade. They're both cool as hell. And I just... maybe had a couple drinks and I gave her that serious, I want you to wrestle my daughter. And she came up to me. She was like, I love your daughter. I love what she's doing. We watch her. Know, like the Bellas comment on, cause she'd come backstage, you know, Natty, everyone knows my daughter. Cause she was like 13 back then. I got pictures of Maurice and Eve dressing her up and she'd be in the locker room. They all took her for the day, you know, and now for them, it's a trip because now she's a woman, right? And she's there. And so anyway, when I go to AEW or Impact or WWE, everyone is always just commenting on my daughter and how she's doing, and they watch her, and everyone knows she got hurt. So there's a lot of focus on her. Everyone's keeping an eye because they know what she's capable of.
Yeah.
And so it's good, man. It's all about her now.
That's awesome. There ain't nothing more. I have 4 kids of my own, and then there ain't nothing more.
Oh, nice.
Special, like you can say, to have when you know your kids succeed in whatever they want to do. Anthony, appreciate it immensely. We went 35 minutes. It felt like it was 5 minutes. Appreciate it. I'd love to give you the floor. Anything you want to, you know, announce or drop off or push or a website or your socials, anything like that. The floor is yours, my man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I try and actually stay away from social media a little bit lately, especially with everything going on. The world seems to be just absolutely losing their mind. I want to see pictures of, like, you know, Labrador retrievers becoming friends with ducks, you know, things like that. But no, man, I'm just coaching in Toronto at Battle Arts Academy. If you want to be a professional wrestler, come on by and I'll do my best to pass some knowledge your way. I think everyone should put their kids in some grappling sport, whether it's judo, wrestling, or jiu-jitsu. Grappling sports they build strength because of that resistance, you know, back and forth. That resistance is strength building. And then that's – especially if – let's say your kid plays baseball. Put him in judo in the offseason. When he goes back to baseball, he's cracking home runs. You know, he's just a better athlete.
And Anthony, maybe not even more physical strength, maybe more than anything, it's mental strength and how to come back and the work and the ethics and everything that it teaches you. It's like when you look at those mats, you don't see anyone who's a slap ass. You know what I mean? You don't see anyone usually overweight. You see some of the best athletes in the world. It's a great base to be in, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I love about it is some days, like for example, my morning workout today was not the most focused, and I was slacking, right? But you go to BJJ, you can't slack. Someone's going to choke you out.
So
you can't slack. So it's all you got to do is show up. You just show up, and the intensity is waiting for you when you get there. But that's about it, man. Not much else to really promote and push. Just hope everyone has a good 2023. Push yourself, do the right thing, be kind to one another, and train hard.
Sounds great, man. Like I said, we appreciate your time immensely. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. Anytime there's an MMA show or an event or a fight that breaks and you want to chat with us, give us a ring. We'll definitely chop it up with you. Cannot wait to see what's next for you in TNA. Cannot wait to see what's next for you and your daughter down there at NXT. Hopefully we wish a speedy recovery. And man, we appreciate it and huge fan of you. And we'll talk to you soon. All right, my man.
Okay. Thank you very much, man. Have an awesome day.
Be good.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.